Gridiron Sticks here, everybody. So welcome back.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
New semester.
New semester, and we got some sad, unfortunate news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most of the world, let alone the sports world, already knows this.
Unless you've been living under a rock.
But Kobe Bryant passed away Sunday, January 26th.
Due to complications of a helicopter accident that him and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna were both in, along with some of Gianna's teammates of a basketball team in which they were all traveling to a game that yesterday morning. I mean, it's been everywhere, no matter news channel, sports, whatever. It's dominated the news for the past day. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that, I mean, we're so late on saying it, but I mean, the man, there's not really much you can say. It's just he transcended the game of basketball. He meant more than just a basketball player. He was an incredible human being, and he was content with his life, and he was happy to enjoy life after basketball, was helping his daughter grow as a basketball player, and she was going to be the next Bryant, but unfortunately, life cut that short. And it's not always fair. He was one of the very few players that got me into basketball. And it's just like he's been a basketball icon ever since we were born. Because he was playing when we were born. Yeah. And we grew up with him. He retired a few years ago and was eligible for the Hall of Fame this year. And we're not going to get to listen to him have his acceptance speech, and it's just everybody said everything that I've wanted to say, so like I don't want to repeat them.
One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, you can't
sport
at this time with one of them gone. It's just him, Michael Jordan, and LeBron are all up there, the top three. You can pick and choose as you like, but it's those three are the greatest of their generations.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, just like the
we wanted to throw that in there. We are usually just football and hockey, but this man was a little bit – he's a little bit more than just a basketball player. So,
yeah.
Now on to some lighter topics.
Yeah. So we're just going to start off today. I mean, it's been a while since our last video.
I believe our last video was it was before
might have been like week 15 week 15.
I think it was week 15 predictions. Yeah.
NFL season.
So,
so a lot has happened playoff wise. Teams not making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, first thing we're going to go into is our pick for most surprising team and our pick for most disappointing team.
Now, these
that didn't make the playoffs or did make the playoffs.
So I guess we can put them into categories. Like, obviously, you have the set one of each from teams that didn't, that missed the playoffs, mm-hmm. and then you want to put in the teams that did. So I'll start it off. The most surprising team that missed the playoffs. Now, what we want to say here is we're not going to categorize the teams that missed the playoffs like surprising that they missed the playoffs. I want to say it as their record at the end of the year was better than what most people expected. So, like, it's not a surprise or it's not a disappointment that they missed the playoffs.
Okay.
So, the surprise
that changes my pick completely.
Well, the my surprise for the team that missed the playoffs was I would probably go with Tampa Bay just because
that's the
Rams headed. No one expected them to do anything. I mean, they weren't scary, but yet they ended up 7-9.
If Jameis Winston cuts back on half of the interceptions,
they well could have been a playoff team. Yeah.
So yeah,
their defense was way better than not way better because they still lacked in some categories, but they had the leading sacker of the league,
yeah,
and Shaquille Barrett, and you know, Winston just cuts down a little bit of those turnovers, and they very well could have been a playoff team
with how much he threw the ball around. Yeah.
Disappointing. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, you got to go Dallas. You start off the season 3-0.
Dallas.
and you end up 8-8.
Yeah.
Okay. Your roster is very well put together, and there's no reason you should have missed the playoffs. There's no reason you should have been on the outside looking in.
For me, the Rams.
Well, that too.
I mean,
coming off a Super Bowl loss, a Super Bowl appearance, and you completely missed the playoffs. But the only reason I picked Dallas over them is because Dallas plays in the weak division.
Yeah.
You easily could have won that division. Well, Philly won it with 9 wins. And the Dallas team should easily have 11 or 12 wins. But, I mean, it might change next year because they got a coaching change, which was very necessary.
It should have happened a few years ago, to be honest.
Yeah. But, again, with L.A., how you mentioned them, it was just unfortunate for them that Seattle and San Francisco exploded. So
yeah.
Jared Goff
struggled, but at the same time, he was okay.
And Todd Gurley is not the same. He's not the same person.
It's like he's already got miles on miles on miles on him.
And that'll do. That'll happen to a running back when you run him into the ground. All right. So now we want to say the most surprising and disappointing team of the playoffs. Obviously, I don't think we have to talk much about the surprising team. It's Tennessee.
Yeah.
They squeaked into the playoffs and
under Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Well, pretty much the Tennessee Derrick Henrys, because against New England and Baltimore, he ran over them.
He literally ran over every single team from week 14 on.
Yeah. They kept going. They snuck in, and they made it to the AFC Championship game. So, yeah. Who do you say is your disappointing team?
Now, are we meaning, how they performed in the playoffs?
Well, just go base it off, how they performed in the regular season to their performance or performances in the playoffs.
New England.
You say New England?
Yeah.
Obviously,
all right, they had the 8-0 start, but from then on,
they just looked bad.
It was terrible.
They didn't perform like a playoff team in my eyes, truly, the second half of the season. And, Baltimore's an option, but I'm not going to pick them because,
they killed it in the regular season.
Yeah. You're not upset. You're upset because you didn't make the Super Bowl, but, you should be proud with what you have in your quarterback.
Yeah.
For me, oh God, it's Green Bay.
Or the New Orleans.
I'm not even blaming New Orleans. Don't get me started on that. We'll get that in a few. But Green Bay was not a 13-3 team.
No.
Their losses, they got smacked around in the regular season. And San Francisco showed them again in the NFC title game that
that game wasn't even close.
No. The start, it was just
scoreboard-wise, they might have made it a little bit close at the end.
But
if you watch the first half of that game, and this is the NFC divisional round or championship, whatever it was, they just completely – the 49ers just spanked Green Bay constantly.
Garoppolo doesn't have over 100 yards, and you still lose by 3 scores, I believe.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
Rodgers is – he's not in free fall because he's still going to bring his team there. But, you played Seattle in the divisional round, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough to play in Green Bay as it is. Cold weather, it was a night game. But Seattle has Russell Wilson and then everybody else. Mm-hmm. Russell, you eliminate one guy, but when you play a team that has multiple weapons, they just looked outplayed and
supremely outmatched.
They better do the same again next year because they need it. They need home field. They're a team that will definitely need home field. I think Rodgers always needs – obviously he won a Super Bowl as a 6th seed, but that's when you had Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, when you had your elite receivers.
Yeah. So then we're just going to move on to the playoff recap so far.
Just real quick, we already mentioned Tennessee's run.
Yep, Tennessee.
Stopped
in the AFC Conference.
Yeah. Title game.
The Chiefs and 49ers in the Super Bowl. Everybody probably knows that.
But when you in January, in late December and early January, you want a running game, and that's what Tennessee had.
Yeah.
Tennessee took it to New England because, obviously, a 6 seed going against a 3 seed, the 3 seed's not always looking over them because it always seems like the 3 and 4 seed are just like, okay, we're playing the second best team in a division. We're just looking on to play the next game. And you couldn't look ahead against Tennessee because they punched it right in your mouth. Granted, they didn't kill the Patriots.
Well, not only that, but like, just all right. Little tidbit for me. I'm obviously a Patriots fan. Straight up, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time. That's fine. But the time management in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season, including the regular season, was straight up terrible. The game against Miami, week 17, in the second quarter, you could have gotten the ball back. I don't remember what exactly the score was, but it was obviously a close game. You could have gotten the ball back with like a minute 47, something like that, and have like 2 timeouts or 3 timeouts. No, instead, you let the clock wind down to 1 minute left. Mm-hmm. You get the ball back, and instead of actually, you still have time. Like, you still have all your timeouts. Rather than going for it, like, actually throwing the ball and trying to get a field goal out of it, you run the ball, and you take a timeout, then you run the ball again. You run the ball 3 straight times, and you end up punting it back to Miami. Talk about a momentum killer.
And not only that, you needed to win that game to lock up a bye week, and then you lose the game. Kansas City wins. Kansas City takes the bye week, and you see where Kansas City is right now.
Yeah.
That side, I mean, Buffalo and Houston, it was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I never really expected Buffalo to make it.
Buffalo's a good regular season team for now.
They'll
Josh Allen will learn to play in the playoffs. On the NFC side, Breeze and the Saints, pretty much whatever you want to say, could have got screwed again, did get screwed, whatever. But you shouldn't have to be in that situation in the first place.
Again.
Yeah. What else? Seattle took care of Philly. It really wasn't much of anything. Then again, Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore really, for lack of a better term.
Egg.
Yeah. And then Houston and Kansas City was
wild.
That was you go up 24-0 and lose the game by 3 touchdowns. It's like, maybe another coach should have been fired, just in my opinion. And then Green Bay and Seattle, whether you want to say it was a first down by Jimmy Graham or not.
Yeah, regardless.
And then Minnesota, like, you want to talk about a team that needs an identity. You go in and you shock New Orleans, okay? One of the hardest places to play because it's a dome, okay? Mm-hmm. Turn around next week, you don't even look like you know how to play football.
Yeah.
Against San Francisco.
I mean, now, maybe that's just San Francisco being that good.
Well, because they did it to Green Bay, I get too. Yeah. But, like, I mean, it was just. And then your offensive coordinator from Minnesota gets hired by Cleveland. So, and the championship games, I mean, Tennessee's Cinderella run ran into a high powered offense.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Baltimore's offense isn't high-powered because it was, but if you shut down Lamar...
You shut down that offense. Yeah,
but you can't shut down Mahomes.
Yeah, because even if you shut down his arm, he proved that he can beat you with his legs, which he did that on multiple occasions against the Titans.
And that's scary. And then Green Bay just was no match for San Francisco. The Super Bowl is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's what we'll say next. In our YouTube show, also named the same thing, if you want to go check it out, whoever's listening, we both predicted the NFC championship games.
Yep.
Okay. We both got the 49ers right.
Yep.
But
I had the Titans.
You had the Titans. I had the Chiefs. So, I mean, at least we both got one right. So I guess, you know,
I'll start it off since I got.
All right.
Since I got both.
Since you
off.
Got one of two.
We're going to do score predictions with this too.
Okay.
Give me the 49ers.
Okay.
Give me a 31 to 27. 31-27.
Okay. The fact that you're relying on Jimmy G to put up that points. All right.
Against the Kansas City defense?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Well, all right. So, surprising stat thrown at you right now, okay? You know how going into this game, it's Kansas City's offense against San Francisco's defense.
Yeah.
When in turn, in the regular season, San Francisco's offense put up more points and Kansas City's defense let up less points. Kind of weird. You know, yeah. Kind of one of those, you know.
Aha moments.
Aha or WTF stats, whatever you want to say. I want to go Kansas City because now history says when the number one offense, which the Chiefs are not, but when you got the number one defense in the Super Bowl against anybody, the defense usually prevails.
Yeah.
I do realize that the 49ers have Sherman. They have a monstrous front four and a very solid linebacking core, okay? But
nobody can really match Tyreek Hill's.
They can't match, like, yes, they can't match Tyreek Hill. And not only do they have Tyreek Hill, they also have Mecole Hardman, who both are speedsters and look like they could probably run the 40-yard dash in under almost equivalent to 4 seconds. Sammy Watkins was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
But he's kind of fallen off. Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce. But, I mean, then again, you also have George Kittle on the other side, who I believe Kittle is better. Because he has the all-around game. He can block. He's a madman. And then you also have DeMarcus Robinson. The Chiefs have a lot of weapons. See, but also, Chiefs have the quarterback and the receivers, but the 49ers have the running backs advantage. Yeah. So if you control the clock well, I think it will come down to, yes, obviously, the typical whoever gets the ball last is going to win the game, blah, blah, okay? No, in this game, whoever gets the ball first.
Yeah.
Because if the Kansas City gets the ball first and scores,
it really all depends, like, on that first drive. If Kansas City gets up, I'll even say 10, 14 nothing, 13 nothing.
San Francisco can't rely on the run.
Yeah.
Jimmy G's going to have to throw.
And I believe he can because he's got capable wide receivers to do so.
Yeah. I mean, he has experienced wide receiver in Emmanuel Sanders in the big game. Yeah. And you have Kittle.
You have Kittle, but, you got Deebo Samuel, you got
Kendrick Bourne and Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the 49ers have speed in themselves, but, I mean, it's Tyreek Hill and Mahomes. Mahomes can throw the ball anywhere and Hill will catch it.
Yeah.
Like, you can fling it, and he can fling it 80 yards with a flick of a wrist. So, I'm going to go Kansas City, and I'm going to say it's going to be all I got to say is it better be higher scoring than last year's.
Yeah, last year's game was bad.
And not only was it the game bad, the commercials and the halftime show were both atrocious. So this game
we need a better performance all around from everybody for this upcoming game.
And yet they chose Demi Lovato to sing the national anthem. But I'm not going to speak any more on that. I'm saying Kansas City 31-21.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Mahomes will just put up more points than. And I say they get out to a lead, and they don't look back.
So then you're saying Andy Reid not only gets his chance at a Super Bowl, but
he gets
finally
it.
Gets that win.
Yeah. Everybody's due for something.
Yeah.
But then again, it's not going to be him. You know, he had a chance with Philly.
Yeah, and then.
But then again, also, with that Super Bowl, Philly also, you know, Terrell Owens was hurt but played and still performed well. But the scary similarity between the two of them is that the Patriots are used to have a good pass rush, and that's what they had in Super Bowl 39. And we all know the 49ers pass rush. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
That wraps up our playoff talk.
Just a little tidbit that we just got news before starting.
Phillip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers are going to be parting ways.
Can you really say this is surprising?
No, because they're probably going to end up drafting Justin Herbert in the first round.
If they like him enough.
They probably do. But, yeah,
So, I mean,
realistically, ideal fits for Philip Rivers.
Indy's always won.
Indy's won. Tampa Bay's won.
See, that, like that you mentioned that because he did buy a house in Florida. He permanently moved
his entire family
to the Florida area. So whether it's close to Miami or Tampa Bay, I'm not quite sure because I'm not going to be a stalker and follow where he goes. But both, I mean, all the Florida teams are quarterback needy, truthfully.
Yeah. And another potential fit could be New England.
Could be.
But that's just...
I'm thinking he's more of a warmer weather guy, though.
Yeah, but...
He's going to want one of those. Yeah.
It's one of those things that are out there.
But, I mean, if New England calls you up and offers you a deal, I'm sure you're not going to... But with that, you also have to consider... He's at that age where he's going to be a bridge quarterback. Don't you agree?
At that age, with him, the way he plays, no. But he needs help. Lots of help.
Okay, but you had... Look what the Chargers have, you couldn't win with that.
They had a terrible line.
Okay, but you still had...
You had Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry when he was able to play.
And was he really noticeable after he came back from injury?
He hasn't been noticeable for a few years, but...
But two of those names are also running backs that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So...
I'm just saying.
I'm not putting everything on Rivers here.
No, but he's also had 16 years, and he's never made an appearance in the Super Bowl.
Now, part of that's because of the team around him. Defense was bad for a few years.
Yeah, and but when you're in that quarterback class, you kind of he's gonna need something.
Yeah.
Because until he gets one, well, even if he does get one, he's still gonna be the number three out of those.
Yeah.
Out of them. So.
Well, that wraps up the NFL until we do our overreactions, non-overreactions. So we're just going to jump into the NHL a little bit. We got a little four tidbits here. So I know I'm a big hater of Jordan Binnington. And so, yeah, St. Louis being on top of the division is kind of surprising to me.
If we go back to our predictions before the season started, I know you definitely had no interest in picking the Blues.
Yeah.
Thought they would fall off.
Really, for me, it's a simple fact that, okay, I don't know Jordan Binnington's stats off the top of my head.
Here, I'll look at it real quick. Just continue with what you want to say.
The biggest thing for me is just simply they're scoring a lot more than years prior. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jaden Schwartz is having a bounce-back year. Ryan O'Reilly is being decent. David Perron is having a point per game year. Nobody expected that out of him. Petrangelo is obviously doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Big thing is that they've done this without Vladimir Tarasenko,
who is pretty much their premier point getter,
premier player. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's huge.
Is he expected back, or was his season ender?
He's expected back. I think probably late March, maybe.
But if they continue, just keep going into the playoffs, you get him back for the playoffs. So Binnington's stats, he's 22-8-5 with a 2.58 goals allowed on 91% save percentage.
I mean,
those numbers don't jump off the board at you.
No, but those numbers aren't terrible either. Just kind of quick glossing over here. Like, Dallas, Ben Bishop, rocking a .927 save percentage and a .228 goals against average. Like, that's more Vezina caliber numbers.
Well, he's not, like, I wasn't even expecting him to win that trophy, I don't believe.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to win that trophy. But regardless, at the same time, like, I'm still not a believer in him.
No.
Until he actually proves that he can perform at this level for a long period of time. Okay, he's playing starter minutes right now.
Yeah.
But he hasn't played more than 35 games in a season yet. So, last year, he had a great regular season, but when we got time to the playoffs, his numbers were terrible in the playoffs. It's just the Blues
were
dominant.
Yeah.
And the Blues have kind of continued that.
Mm-hmm.
And now his play has picked up since the playoffs, but his play is still...
But if he's, if you he, say, like, he falters just a bit, what's going to happen?
Yeah, like, I mean, he was a 25-year-old rookie, for mm-hmm. crying out loud. I know that really doesn't speak much of anything, but... Okay, it took him 6 years to finally get into the league.
And then
if we look at his playoff stats from last year, his playoff stats are kind of at the same level where his play's at right now.
Okay.
But I know if you actually like go in and look at the game logs, his first round was unbelievable. From the second round to the Stanley Cup final, he was rocking just barely above 900 save percentage and like a 280 goals against average.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get the job done.
No, it doesn't.
But, yeah, St. Louis is surprising me a little bit. I mean, they're up there. But
they have the same amount of games played as Colorado, and they're six points above them. But then again, if they keep that up and then they get – Tarasenko back.
Yeah.
They could be, they're going to be a scary team in the playoffs, regardless. Yeah,
and plus deadline moves. I don't mm-hmm. know exactly what they're going to be doing. Because I haven't really heard too much about them buying or whatever they're going to mm-hmm. be doing. But let's just jump into. We'll do another shocking team real quick.
Okay.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
You lose
your whole team, pretty much.
Yeah. So you lose Sergei Bobrovsky,
uh-huh.
you lose Artemi Panarin,
mm-hmm.
you lose your trade acquisition in Matt Duchene, mm-hmm. and you lose another trade acquisition in Ryan Dzingel. Three of those are forwards, and then you lose your starting goaltender.
Your star, pretty much, goaltender.
Yeah.
And
somehow, you're in the first wild card spot. Now, the reason why is because you're getting unreal goalie play from Elvis Merlinkins.
Pronunciation might not be correct, but
yeah, I'm close enough. Who has been unbelievable in the past few games that he has played. And simply put, he has somehow kept this team afloat just kind of going over their schedule, some of the games that he's played, and he hasn't really played that tough opponents like LA, Anaheim, San Jose, New Jersey, Chicago, Florida, Ottawa. But at the same time, Columbus has nothing on their roster.
They really don't. I mean, aside from Seth Jones, who's really a known...
Seth Jones, Zach Werenski, Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, that's their stars. Depth players, Cam Atkinson. Cam Atkinson was hurt for a while. He just came back from injury not too long ago, right before the All-Star break. So that helps him out, but at the same time, I really don't know how. I don't think this is sustainable.
But then again,
are we going to have another Jordan Binghamton where he plays only like 35 games in a season, but he's just unreal and somehow carries the team to the playoffs? I don't think we're at that point because they still got like 30 more games to go.
No.
So
we're just looking at teams that are, you know, on the bubble. They could stick there the whole season.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they will. And now let's just go into teams that are struggling. Oh boy.
Do we really even need to say any? I mean, I just feel bad saying this.
Honestly, this is Detroit could be heading towards historically
bad.
Colorado was that a few years ago. Historically bad, where they posted under 50 points in a season. We might be getting something very similar this season in Detroit. They only have 12 wins on the season so far. Jimmy Howard only has 2 wins this season in like 24 games played.
That's really sad.
I feel bad for the guy, but...
Then again, you're in the NHL, you need to produce.
Yeah, and he's rocking like a 870 save percentage and like a 414 goals against average, which is just atrocious.
Well, not to mention they also have a minus 90 goal differential.
Yeah, that's...
that's horrific.
Yeah. There's nothing good about this team. I mean, there is. Your future's looking bright because you're going to be a lottery pick.
But that doesn't guarantee you the number one pick.
No, but in this upcoming draft class, it's a pretty good pick, regardless, if you get first overall.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah. You got Dylan Larkin coming up. Like, your future is bright. It's just right now sucks. But you can look back and say, hey, we were a dynasty for all those years.
That's past, though. This is now.
Yeah, but you can be like, oh, we might be able to get that back.
Oh, we had a few down years. Now we're just building up for to regain that. But
yeah,
as of right now, it's not looking very pretty.
No, not at all.
Yeah, just because you had those dynasty in the early, you know, a couple years ago. And now if you're building towards that, you still don't want to have a historic season of poor play.
Yeah, and they need it. And the scary thing is that team's only going to get worse. Now, granted, they're going to fill out the roster with young players that are trying to compete for a job next season.
Uh-huh.
So that will make them more competitive. But skill-wise, they will take a massive hit once the trade deadline passes by, because they're going to be selling off a lot of players. Like,
yeah.
So, it's going to get worse before it gets better in Detroit. But the future is bright there.
If they get the first overall pick, it's going to be very bright.
Yeah.
So,
a team that...
couple teams.
Yeah, three teams that are struggling right now. One team struggling the most out of all of them, and that's San Jose.
Yeah.
San Jose, I get it. Like, your goaltending has been terrible. That's fine. And that can be a big excuse for why they're performing the way they are. But at the same time, where's your offensive production? Timo Meier has been posted like 66, 68 points last season. He was a 30-goal scorer last year. He's gone cold. Tomas Hertl, he's been okay, but he's done nothing. You lose Logan Couture to injury, which that's a big loss.
Yeah.
You lose Joe Pavelski in free agency. Bring back Patrick Marleau. You bring back Joe Thornton.
But that's age.
That's
yeah.
So old. Okay.
It's nice for, you know, oh, you know, good guy.
I mean, they're not performing terribly, but they're not performing good either.
But they're also – they have no future. Like, what are you
– yeah. Kevin LeBanc's taken a major step back. Eric Karlsson,
where is he?
Where are you? Like, do we need to put your face on a cereal box?
He's drowning in his money.
Same thing with Brent Burns.
Yeah.
Like, come on, San Jose. And they're going to be sellers at the deadline this year. They – could have a chance of making the playoffs because of how bad the West is. But at the same
time. But then again, you're also in a very competitive division with five teams separated by a point.
Yeah.
And you're 11 points behind them.
Okay, then they're not making the playoffs.
So you need to, I think, yeah, you're right. You probably should sell.
And they're going to. I mean, they said that they're going to keep their core pieces intact. But at the same time, if I'm that GM, and I'm like, okay, my core players are now starting past the age of 30. So.
Are they the oldest team in the league?
Probably. By far and away.
With Thornton and Marleau.
Yeah. And then you got Burns, who's up there in age. Yeah. I mean, maybe Chicago could rival it, but Chicago's got a lot of rookies. Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, maybe.
But who do you sell? Like, if you're going to keep your core pieces, who's your attractive, like, hey?
Brendan Dillon. I mean, they have a young guy. Kevin LeBanc could be a piece, but he's a younger kid that shouldn't be sold off.
Because no one will take Thornton and Marleau.
But if you're selling, this is the part where now you're thinking ethically here. They've been with your franchise for so long. You did let Patrick Marleau leave once. Do you trade him, even though he came back?
Or do you let Jumbo Joe go to a...
Do you let them both try and go win a Stanley Cup?
And then retire happily.
I mean, that's an option.
But then again, how do you convince one of the cup contenders?
Oh, easily. Play him on the third line, fourth line. That's easy. Just get picks back for them.
You don't even get a player?
No.
Another player?
No, just picks.
So who would you say out of those? So those two, okay? What cup contender would you say possibly would bring them on? Let me ask you this.
I gotta look at salary caps.
Okay. While you're doing that, I want you to give me your four. Okay. I know there's probably more than that, but give me your top four right now.
Top four in the NHL?
Cup contenders right now.
Washington, St. Louis, Boston, Tampa.
Okay.
And I don't think Washington wouldn't. I honestly don't even expect Washington to make a single trade at the deadline.
Okay.
If they do, they're going to go for depth blue liners. Boston could look at adding depth for forwards. Tampa, maybe. St. Louis, I don't really think would. I really don't think St. Louis is going to do anything. If they do, they're going to go for a big piece and screw up their entire lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be bold like that.
Who's your next tier?
My next tier, Colorado, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Arizona, Calgary, Edmonton.
Now, I know being Pittsburgh fan, the fourth line's not very good.
No, but you didn't – no. See, there's the thing. The Penguins, if you're going to make a move, you need –
I've heard they've looked at the kid or that dude from Minnesota
a lot. Jason Zucker.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I mean, if I'm San Jose, I'm like, heck yeah, I'll trade you Jumbo Joe and I'm Patrick Marleau and I'll trade you somebody else for Alex Galchenyuk because he's a young kid and you can play him in your top six if you're, I'm San Jose. But if I'm Pittsburgh, I mean, yeah, I want to make another cup run. Jumbo Joe and Patrick Marleau, they have chemistry, but at the same time...
That's a cap hit, too.
That's a major cap hit. Well, I mean, not necessarily. I don't think...
But you also threw money away at... I don't think Pittsburgh has much to work with.
No, but... Galchenyuk's making, like, $4 million.
Would Galchenyuk have to be thrown in a deal for him?
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, so Jumbo Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, they combine for $2.7 million.
Okay.
Galchenyuk's making more than that.
So you would just have to throw in another piece to match the cap hit?
Yeah, just value-wise, like, if I'm San Jose, I'm just thinking, okay, I need to entice the Penguins a little bit more because I don't think
those two for him wouldn't,
the value's not there.
Yeah,
but yeah, just looking at San Jose's roster right now, Melker Carlson would be a good fourth line option for the Penguins. That's really it.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, you got Jumbo Joe who should be traded realistically. Yeah. Kevin LeBanc, as I mentioned, but I don't think he's a guy.
Young.
He's 24 years old.
Now, another little interesting piece. Do they consider trading Carlson at all?
No. If I'm trading people from my blue line.
Uh-huh.
All right, so their blue line currently looks like Eric Carlson, Brent Burns, Mark Edward Vlasic, Brendan Dillon, Tim Heed, Mario Ferraro.
You mentioned Dillon already.
Yeah, Dillon, you're trading. For sure. Tim Heed, you're trading. Most likely. The two guys that I'm looking at trading, Mark Edward Vlasic is first on my list.
Okay.
Is he overpaid? Yes. Is he also undervalued? Yes. But he's a type of defenseman that I kind of look at Brooks Orpik.
Okay.
But he's a little bit better than Brooks Orpik. But he's underappreciated. But his contract makes it seem like he's not. So, he's making $7 million, which is way too much for the type of defenseman that you're getting out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also looking at Brent Burns. Because he's 34 years old. And he has a lot of term left at $8 million. And if I'm the Sharks, I'm just looking, okay, Erik Karlsson, you can be our number one defenseman from here on out. Mm-hmm. No more competition between you and Burns. We're just going to have one good D-man, and then we're just going to build around you the rest of the way. I think that's perfectly fine. But, honestly, if I'm San Jose, I'm realistically rebuilding the entire team, except for a few pieces.
Who are you keeping?
I would keep Kevin LeBanc, Thomas mm-hmm. Hertl, Timo Meier, maybe Logan Couture, and maybe Erik Karlsson. Outside of that, rebuilding the entire roster and starting fresh.
Fire sale.
Complete fire sale.
You got a new coach.
I would even get a newer coach than this guy.
He's just interim right now, isn't he?
I have no idea.
He's something. He's something. But, wow.
Yeah, that's a bold take for you on a Monday.
I mean, could it happen? Very much so.
Will it happen? Probably not.
No, because...
Because that team just, obviously with the core, they didn't get the job done, and look where it's put them now. They're in
struggling.
They're in cap struggles.
Mm-hmm. Paying guys too much. You got to try something.
Now that quick rant's over, okay. We're going to go to Nashville and Toronto.
Oh, boy.
Basically, flip-flop these two, and you got a solid team. You give Toronto part of your offense to Nashville, and you give Nashville's defense to Toronto, and you have the perfect team. Because Toronto can't play defense, and Nashville can't score. So if you mix the two together, one dynamite team. Now, Nashville, I know they have struggles in goaltending so far, but Pecorine is starting to turn it around. I would know because Pecorine is on my fantasy team, and I've dealt with his struggles all year. So,
but what's wrong with Toronto?
They can't play defense. Their defense is terrible.
So when you invest literally almost everything into your forwards,
yes,
and you overpay them.
They tried to be like the Pittsburgh Penguins, but they don't have Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. When you have a guy like Crosby, you can afford to be.
And the difference is Marc-Andre Fleury was amazing in the playoffs, the regular season when Matt Murray was down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt Murray did play good, but there's different dynamic that was in Pittsburgh than there is in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Toronto's full run and gun. Pittsburgh was partially that. Pittsburgh was a little bit more stable in their D-zone, even though they didn't have a good blue line. Toronto doesn't have a good blue line, and they're not stable.
Who's their top pair?
Honestly, I don't know, because Morgan Riley's hurt. Jake Muzzin, I think I just got a report that Jake Muzzin's coming back tonight or tomorrow, whatever, whenever they play next. But, okay, those are two out of your top four that are down. Tyson Barrie was terrible under Mike Babcock, but he's good again under the new coach. So, I don't know. But if you mix Nashville and Toronto together,
yeah,
you get an amazing team.
So, one team just can't score, and the other team can't prevent from scoring.
Yeah, basically. All right. So, now that it covers the NHL, we're just going to move into the overreaction, non-overreaction. We're running out a little bit of time here.
Yeah,
so
we're fine.
Overreaction, non-overreaction. Patriots dynasty is finished.
For now. I only say that because there's going to be a gap year.
Yeah, I agree.
Because this year, okay, I know no matter how much you hate to say it, Brady's gone.
Yeah.
There's no realistic way that you can tell me that they are going to want to bring him back. I mean, they do. They want to bring him back. But he's now wanting money. Like, he wants to feel appreciated.
He wants to get paid. Yeah.
So, honestly, no matter how much you love him, he's always going to be a Patriot. If he just goes somewhere else for 1 year, you know, so be it.
I'm not going to disrespect the guy for wanting money. Like,
he's taken pay cuts all of his life, and he's won Super Bowls, so now he just wants the money to end his career.
Yeah.
But, like, when you look at it, Brett Favre.
I just want to see him go out on top.
Like,
that's all I want for him.
But, like, Brett Favre, Montana, Steve Young, they all played for multiple teams. Yeah. So it's okay if he goes somewhere else. Peyton Manning did it, and Peyton Manning succeeded.
Exactly.
But Peyton wasn't as old whenever he had a neck injury and then left. But anyways, I'm just saying they're done for now. I think you should try what you can next year. Okay, it's going to really stink because some undeserving team, because the other three teams stink. Okay,
I mean, the Bills are going to be.
The Bills are all right, but Josh Allen's not up here. You know, when you think of a division, Brady's up here, everybody else is dying. It's been that way for decades, okay? Who's going to take the reign? Do you believe in Josh Allen? Do you believe in Sam Darnold? Or do you believe in who is it going to be? Tua? Can Tua even play? Or is it going to be Justin Herbert? Is now, Miami going to
– who is it? Here's what I believe. I think that the dynasty is over for now. But here's the thing. With how bad this division is,
yeah,
I still think the Patriots might be able to squeak in as the division winner at like 9-7 next year.
For sure. But I've also heard facts. So Joe Judge, okay, head coach at the Giants now. Mm-hmm. Special teams coordinator, right?
Yep.
I've heard he is – now the Patriots defense, okay, your defense was amazing. I've heard you're losing some pieces or free agents, okay?
Kyle Van Noy is going to be gone. Collins is going
to
be gone.
McCourty is linked to – McCourty, Van Noy, and Collins are all linked to Joe Judge.
There's no way they can pay all of those guys.
No, but I would say you lose McCourty.
I'm okay with him going.
You already have a need. Now, I assume, okay, first round, there's no tight end in this draft that I have seen yet that deserves a first round grade. Nope. Okay. At your pick, unless Bill Belichick is blown away by Jake Fromm, I don't think you're picking a quarterback this year.
I think we're taking Jake Fromm late since he hasn't been picked. Like,
yeah.
In mock drafts, he's not like a second-round QB. He's like a third-round QB.
Which is very surprising. And then you also have the fact that, okay, your running backs are settled.
Running backs are set.
Receivers, N'Keal Harry came on late, which was very nice to see. But Edelman, vandalizing cars. Philip Dorsett's a free agent.
Yep.
Josh Gordon was left and gone.
You need
a receiver again?
Yep.
Your corners, Gilmore is whoever you put up aside from Gilmore.
Jackson, corners.
Yeah.
Corner position is fine.
Safety, you could get a little younger at.
Yeah, because realistically.
McCourty's probably gone and Chung is just old. As old.
Daron Harmon's getting up there in age.
Linebackers, if you lose Collins and Van Noy. You could go for a middle linebacker. Middle linebacker is always nice to get.
I mean, you got Hightower. You got Juwan Bentley there.
And I think your defensive line is.
Yeah. It's iffy. Could be a lot better.
But what do you go for?
Best available.
Except for tight end. But I think tight end's the biggest need. One of the biggest needs. But I don't see it being. I don't see a first round talent in any of these tight ends. But then again, you pick them second, third round. Okay. You know who I could see, though? Because what are you guys at, 24?
23, 24, something.
You were, like the best team that got eliminated in the wild card round.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs? Justin Jefferson?
That's taking a wide receiver, though.
Those are receivers.
Yeah. I don't think they'd take a wide receiver in the first round, back-to-back years.
Yeter Gross-Matos from Penn State. Pass rusher.
Yeah.
The kid from Florida. I can't never remember his name.
I mean, I've heard rumors of Grant Delpit slipping.
Yeah.
Do the Patriots do it un...
Trade up and snag him when he's falling? Trade up a little bit?
Yeah. Something that
they He slips into the teens. Why don't you? You know?
Yeah.
Kid's good. Hey, you won a national championship.
Replacement for McCourty right there.
Or another dude from LSU, and that's Kalavon Chasen. Mm-hmm. Fast linebacker, so. All right.
Should teams pay big money for Tannehill?
No.
Simple answer is no.
Buddy had Derrick Henry. Titans are going to pay Derrick Henry, deservedly so.
Yeah.
No.
All right, that's a simple one. We're just going to move on.
No.
Jimmy G has more to lose than Patrick Mahomes. Honestly, I think Patrick Mahomes has more to lose than Jimmy G does. Because I don't think people – if Patrick Mahomes loses, I think that will be a worse loss for him than if Jimmy G were to lose. Because I don't think people really see Jimmy G as being an elite quarterback. I mean, he's not an elite quarterback.
People see the 49ers as the defense-heavy team that if they lose, it's because their defense didn't play up to par and they lost to Mahomes because Mahomes just overpowered them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but then again – Jimmy G's getting paid a lot of money.
I mean, he is.
So, I mean, Mahomes is going to be paid almost $200 million this offseason. So,
yeah.
It's not like, you know, he's at a loss. But I think it means more. Garoppolo's been there. He didn't play in the Super Bowl, but he was.
Garoppolo also is a lot more older than Mahomes is. So
yeah,
how many more chances realistically will Garoppolo get?
I mean, if that defense stays intact, because they're all young. I mean, they are all. I mean, Sherman's not, but that front six that you can sub in and out, they're all young. They're all, I'm pretty sure, still on their rookie contracts. Maybe Buckner or Armstead, or this is their last year. But like, you're gonna re-sign them.
Yeah.
Because they're just mammoths,
but yeah,
that's all I got for today. So
that's one wraps it up. We'll see you guys next week.